News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Sound Bites. This is America's longest-running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 31st of October, Anno Domini 2004, and you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And we'll be bringing you news, views, and stuff you can use. Before we get too far, I should let you know that it seems internet access here is verschlumped, and therefore we probably won't be streaming or doing anything. No cameras, no nothing. And there ain't no internet, there ain't no nothing. So, but we'll be doing whatever we can. The phones work, so you can give us a call. And we work, so we'll be doing the news.
Yeah, hey, that works.
And we'll start with Steve, because he's completely not ready.
Well, I was because we don't have internet, I can't bring up my news story, so I was trying to see if I had the printed copy with me.
No.
Well, the big news in the Apple world is Steve Jobs. Well, Steve Jobs really, really likes U2. calling U2 the Beatles of our generation, which I'm sure isn't going to help the Apple's lawsuit against the Beatles.
Steve Jobs really likes me, too.
Oh, U2, the band U2.
The band U2.
Yeah, I forget you're from an older generation.
Yes, I am. Thank you very much.
The band U2.
I think of U2 as the new Beatles as opposed to the Beatles of this generation. They're the upstarts.
Upstarts, yeah. In a wide press release this week and a media event in California, Apple introduced the iPod Special Edition U2. Which almost implies there's going to be other special editions. But it's a black iPod with a bright red click wheel to coincide with U2's color schemes on their upcoming album. And it's autographed, well, probably not autographed, but laser etched with the signatures of all four of the band members on the back of the iPod. It's retailing for $50 more than the standard 20-gig iPod, but it comes with a $50 coupon for the complete U2 collection. Jobs is introducing what they're calling a digital box set. A lot of bands have box sets in the stores these days, but you're kind of limited even on how many CDs you can put in a box set, 10, 12, 15 maybe. U2's 20-year career has over 400 tracks. So Apple, the iTunes Music Store, is going to have an exclusive deal with U2 to sell the complete U2 digital box set, and when you buy a U2 iPod, there's a $50 coupon, so you can get it for $100. Broadband required, he jokingly said, but if you try to download 400 songs on a modem, that's about a week, so we don't want to do that. And they also took the opportunity to release the iPod Photo, quite long rumored. And the iPod Photo comes in 40 gigs and 60 gig models for $500 and $600.
No sooner do I buy an iPod.
No, so now here you go. Is Amelia listening today?
Quiet. Not a word from you, buddy boy.
So the 40 gig and 60 gig iPod with a color screen so that you can download your photos from Mac or Windows. It uses your iPhoto program on the Mac or any folder you specify, plus the My Pictures folder under Windows. Or in the Adobe Photo Album program under Windows. So you can view your photos on your iPod in color, and it has S-Video and composite outputs, so you can plug your iPod into your television and do slideshows on your television for your family. So it's a pretty neat little device. They've also increased the battery life. It's now 15 hours of continuous music or 5 hours of continuous slideshows with background music. The other thing that they've added with the color screen now is that the games work in color, and a lot of people have said that Solitaire is now much more playable when you can see the black and red cards, and you don't have to look at the suits.
Good to know there's a purpose for buying the new machine.
But they also are also now synchronizing your album art. One of the features in iTunes is it will download the album art with the music itself, so you can see the cover art. The next step I'm waiting for built into iTunes is the liner notes and lyrics sheets. There are already third-party options for that. So when you bring the album art into your iPod now in the iPod Photo, it displays that art in color on your screen so you can see the album in addition to just the text. So it's kind of a neat announcement. Of course, you know, like Nick, we're all annoyed that, you know, we've got a lot of the 20s and 40s and minis in stock now, and everyone's saying, "Ooh, when's the iPod Photo coming in?" Well, you don't really need photos. You can buy this other one cheaper. But they should be in a couple of weeks.
All right, we're not going to wait a couple of weeks. We'll be back in a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, each and every one of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Computer talk that you can understand. Now back to Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
That is, of course, nonsense, and half the time I don't understand it. Look to the skies.
Boy, I wish the camera was working.
I was just going to listen to the music. Do you want us to talk now?
Is that
the idea? Okay. You're standing there bouncing your microphone. I didn't know what that was about.
He's Viagra or something. I mean, I don't know what the deal is.
And that's not a euphemism. He was actually bouncing the microphone itself.
Yeah, I'm not even kidding.
All right, I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm David.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And you're listening to Sound Bites. We've got more news, and we're going to... Oh, let's go to Dave this time.
That works.
Okay.
I'll do that. Okay, well, for you folks that have been living under a rock or didn't quite realize that, you know, an AOL is now coming out saying that, oh, they did this big survey, and they're finding out that over 20% of the homes have viruses or spyware. Yeah, because they don't listen to Sound Bites.
I'd say that's a pretty low estimate, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, really. I mean, I yet to find a machine that comes into our shop nowadays that, we, like I say, that we don't put Adware or SpyBot on there because they're just loaded with it. It's just a given. As to whereas my wife wound up, she wanted it user-friendly.
Yeah.
So she typed up this whole procedure that we now hand out to folks. That my wife did step-by-step instructions on how to go in, update your AdAware and the SpyBot, and how to run both of them.
Excellent.
And even like in the Immunite to even click on the plus sign so that it gets added to the library. Because a lot of folks forget to do that.
Mm. Couple other send me that. I'll put it on the Tango.
Okay. Yeah, we'll throw it up there. Other things in the news, AOL is also claiming that they're going to make chat rooms even safer with double author and, you know, multiple
authentication.
Thank you. These Sunday mornings.
It's tough, isn't it?
Yeah, really.
Yeah, we've had a lot of clients ask us about content filtering software like CyberSitter and NetNanny.
Right.
But all of them are only as good as that minute you install it because then the Internet changes so fast.
Right, right.
And so AOL is probably the best parental controls now because it's server filtered at the other end.
Well, that's where, like I was talking about last week, was that one program that parents really want to know where their kids are, you know, going on the Internet, and that is that one e-blaster. Some other things, there's new virus out there. Well, it's not new, it's just a different iteration, and that's the bagel. Back out
new version of the bagel.
It's another emailing one. If you
cinnamon raisin?
That's
my favorite.
With a little cream cheese? Anyway,
yes, I'd like to apologize to everyone listening right now. Thank you.
It's Halloween.
It is.
And flat panel.
I'm glad
screen.
To see you're wearing your customs early.
Hmm?
Beat you to it.
Yeah, but at least we only wear ours during this week. What's your excuse?
Exactly. My daughter a couple days ago, early in the week, said, "Dad, how come vampires talk like that?" So then I had to explain Bela Lugosi and where he came from and how he was the first stage Dracula, and then they made the movie and brought him to do the movie, and that just happens to be the way he talked, so now it's the way all of them talk.
Well, so we were watching Van Helsing last night, and they were talking about Transylvania being part of Romania.
Right.
Romania didn't exist.
Right.
It was Hungary until World War I.
Right, exactly.
So it's a little tiny piece of salt they probably did when they spoke English.
And we talked
English,
about Vlad the Impaler and how that's where he came from anyway, so it really is historically correct. So it was pretty cool. We had a good time with that. Of course, you know, her accent, she hears it. She's never really seen the Lugosi movie. She's all seen the cartoon, so her accent is very, very thick.
That's it's the Count from Sesame Street.
Right. All right. Security holes, ladies and gentlemen. Pay attention. You need to do some updating. Quick time. Real player. Both of them have security holes and need to be updated because they could allow remote system control by a hacker. Also, no, that's both Apple. Apple has an update out there, and so does Real. So download the updates and make sure that happens for you.
I forgot to mention that. Speaking of security holes, there's the first OS X specifically targeted malware came out this past week. It basically puts something in your startup folder so it can spread itself. But it needs to have root access to run, and no one on the Mac side knows what root is, and if you do, you've got it off.
You're right.
so there's not much danger of it, but it's out there.
It's a start.
The first one that's specifically targeting Mac OS X.
Right. There's a great privacy bug in Outlook Express. It can reveal the email addresses copied in a blind carbon copy field. And if you use OE 6, you can get it, but it's actually in Internet Explorer 6. And it's not that easy to use, but it can happen. Here's one of my favorites. There's a little bot out there, a little worm called RBotGR, which actually will go in and turn on your webcam. When you think it's off,
cute.
And send the video to whoever that is. So I think that's pretty good. If you use Winamp, you need to update it because there's a vulnerability in the skins, believe it or not. You download a skin that will a different look to the thing that will take over your machine. I've already talked about Real. There's also, for you Linux people, there's a KDE patch to get rid of some security flaws. So if you use KDE or any KDE program, you should do that. There's some security holes in the 2.6 Linux kernel, so update that. There's also an email scam going around that targets users of Red Hat, telling you that the Red Hat security team advises you to immediately apply the file utils patch. And it tells you how to download them and all that stuff. Well, of course, you know as a Red Hat Linux user that you don't download patches from odd sites. You do an update.
There's another one from purportedly from eBay going around this week. I got someone has been using your account fraudulently. Please click here to verify that you're really you. It looks beautifully written. It's got all the eBay logos on it. It looks like an eBay URL, but it's a hidden, you know, third-party URL to steal your account. So they can use it legitimately.
Exactly. Xbox owner. There's a guy who owns an Xbox. The drive failed, the CD, DVD drive. And so he has sued Microsoft because he says, and I quote, "The defective Xboxes stop working after minimal usage, after unreasonably, unconscionably, unusually, and unexpectedly short amounts of time." In other words, they've put out complete junk, and they would like their money back. So there's a suit, and it's going to be a class action suit, it looks like.
It's apparently out of warranty, or he would have got it fixed. So it's not that unreasonable in Microsoft's idea.
Yeah, right. All right, we're going to be back in just a couple of minutes. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, each and every one of you, and your calls and all kinds of other stuff on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Soundbites. This is America's longest-running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice 1 toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbite. Steve, you were asking before the break what the I don't know what the warranty is on an Xbox, but I do know that this lawsuit is about the fact that they go bad after less than a year. And apparently he's had several of them do that. And so Microsoft, by the way, has no immediate comment on the lawsuit. However, they are battling piracy by giving away free software. Yes, if you own a genuine copy of Windows, you can get free photo slideshow software. Woohoo! It's called Photo Story 3. It's used to create slideshows set to music or narration. The previous incarnation of that software was sold as part of a digital musical, a digital media bundle known as the Microsoft Plus Media Edition, and cost $20.
So now it's free.
And, no, this piece of it is free.
This piece of it. It's been built into the Mac for 4 years now.
Right, you have to take part. Right, exactly. You have to shut up. You have to take part in the Windows Genuine Advantage pilot program. So you use an online tool to check whether your PCs are using a properly licensed copy of the operating system. And if you do that, then you can get this free software, which was part of a $20 bundle. Now, the Genuine Advantage program was launched last month. At that point, there was really no added benefit for the user. But there was also not a penalty if the software was bogus. They don't talk about whether there's a penalty now, of course. But they would like you to do that. Of course. Oh, no, there is still no penalty for software not found to be genuine. That could change, Microsoft said. So I can see lots of you running out right now to run that piece of software. Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there's many free alternatives already existing. Didn't Earth and View have a slideshow feature built in
like,
it, too?
Yes, yeah. There's all kinds of stuff out there that does that. What's bothered me for the last couple of years with Microsoft is that and it's probably true. Well, it's probably true of Windows as well, and even of Linux. The upgrades are boring. There's nothing that compels me to move to a new version of the operating system. I mean, there's some interesting stuff. There's some neat stuff. The only thing that compels you is that the only place the bug fixes are available.
Yeah.
But in terms of value add, there really kind of isn't any. Oh, well, we're going to go to the phones now, and we're going to talk to Ginny. Oh, Ginny, before we talk to Ginny, we need to talk about our trivia contest. Every week, we give away a piece of software. Yes, indeed. And this week, we are giving away a copy of the Zone Alarm Security Suite. You'll be hearing a little more about that in a few minutes. But it's an incredibly nifty piece of software, and we're going to be giving it away. And all I have to do is find the trivia question. Oh, here it is right in front of me. It's an easy one this week. What is a 404 error? What is a 404 error? You can answer that. It's a frightening idea, but if you can answer that question, you will get a copy of the Zone Alarm Security Suite. And now we will talk to Ginny from Pittsburgh. Welcome, Ginny. What's your question?
Good morning. I'm running a Dell XP Professional.
Mm-hmm.
And as of Friday, they wouldn't Adaware would not let me update the reference file. So I tried again this morning, and it would not do it. It said it could have been corrupted. So I uninstalled Adaware, went back to LavaSoft, and now when I try to reinstall the Adaware, they're telling me that the publisher has an unknown name, and not to. I checked it out, and it said don't download it.
That's Microsoft's overly cautious security software telling you that it doesn't know who LavaSoft is.
I see. So and it's safe for me to go ahead and download it?
Yeah, if you're downloading it from LavaSoftUSA.com, you're good.
And I go to download.com from there.
Yes, that will take you to download.com.
It's CNET.
The error is it's not digitally signed, so it doesn't know who this person is.
Okay.
That's scaring more people. The deal is that Microsoft has determined that most of their problems with instability in their operating system is due to third-party drivers and software.
So it's not their fault, it's everybody else's.
It's not their fault, it's everybody else's. And so if you never run anybody else's software, you'll be fine.
I see.
So they've now got a deal where unless something is certified by Microsoft, it screams at the top of its lungs when you try to use it.
Same with installing hardware. If the drivers aren't Windows certified, it won't install them.
Right. Well, it'll scream about it anyway.
Any thoughts on why I couldn't get the recent download?
Well, have you danced the entire Security Tango, including Stinger?
No, I didn't do Stinger.
No. You got to never skip a step, otherwise it's not a tango, it's just a stumble.
Also, had you upgraded to the AdAware SE yet?
I don't think so.
That could be why.
Because
they've stopped updating definitions for the original AdAware, and there was a little message
right,
in one of those boxes.
Right, you got to go up and uninstall and then download the AdAware SE.
Which is what you probably downloaded already, because that's the current version available.
Okay, so it is safe to go ahead even though the file is unknown.
Yep.
Okay, right. You've answered my question.
That's all we ever asked to do. Thank you very much.
And it happens so infrequently. No.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We're going to take another break, but we're going to be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you and your questions on Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM.
Glenn.
You've heard us talk a lot about Zone Alarm as part of the Security Tango. What you may not know is that Zone Alarm folks have a whole Zone Alarm security suite, and you can find it at StopHackersNow.com. It's just one easy-to-use program that protects you with a firewall, antivirus, ID lock, website filtering, and email, and instant messaging protection. It stops hackers who are trying to steal your passwords, even your identity, blocks viruses and worms, shields your private information. It does everything for you. If you've got a family, or you value your privacy online, you owe it to yourself to visit StopHackersNow.com. Select Nick in the drop-down menu to get $30 off the list price of $69.95, downloaded for just $39.95. We've talked a lot about Zone Alarm as part of the Security Tango. You know it's a great piece of software. You know you need it to keep yourself safe on the Internet, you and your family. And now there's a whole security suite. A $70 piece of software for $39.95. StopHackersNow.com. Select Nick from the drop-down menu.
Frank, take your...
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Mother is unhappy if you're not watching and listening to Soundbites.
Welcome back, you psychos. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Robert Block, who wrote Psycho, the great scene where Janet Leigh gets killed in the shower. Mm-hmm. That's Psycho, and that's right from this music. When he's killing her.
Well, what's the one he said, curtain with that?
That's a different story entirely. In this case, though, what Robert Block said, people used to come up to him all the time and say, you know, I saw that movie and I was so scared I couldn't take a shower for a month. His invariable answer was, good thing I didn't kill her on the toilet, huh?
No! Thank you very much.
I like Robert Block. Nice guy. And we're back to the phones now, talking to Brian in Caledonia. Welcome, Brian. What's your question?
Oh, hi. Well,
you want to take a shot at the trivia?
Yeah, I'm going to take a shot at the trivia.
Excellent. What do you think it is? The question, of course, is what is a 404 error?
I believe it's when you're searching the web and you're trying to go to a page that doesn't exist.
Oh, you believe that, do you?
I believe so.
Well, you believe correctly. That's exactly what it is. Well done, Brian. Well done. Stay on the line, of course, after we're done talking to you, and then you can give your email address to Rob so he can stalk. So we can get that to the Zone Alarm folks, and
they'll suck.
They can suck. And they can send you your software. They'll send you the software and give you an unlock key. It's a very cool suite. I've been using it myself. You're going
to
love it.
It's actually hard to you don't get many 404 errors anymore because there's so many fake internet sites out there that you type in something wrong instead of a page not found, you get someone else's search engine that they want to sucker you in.
Exactly. Do you have a question for us, or was that it?
No, I have a question.
Excellent. Okay.
Yep.
Call back later and you'll see if you can.
I'm a teacher. I teach here at East High, and we use Windows 2000 Professional. And one of my students put an image, not that bad, an image on the startup screen after you log in.
Sure.
And I'm trying to figure out how to get it out. I think you use Active Desktop and you right-click on it. It's not when you log in, it goes away, but it's right after he types in his login, name and password. It shows that image, and then when he comes up, it's gone.
Usually that means it's an image that was placed there under the administrator ID.
Okay.
Generally speaking, each individual who has an account on Windows 2000 system can set their own background. The default background is the one that's set by the administrator.
Okay.
So as soon as the user stuff loads, it erases the administrator background and goes to the user's background.
Okay. I can get in under administrator. How would I change?
You can right-click on the desktop, select properties, and then one of the choices is I think, desktop. I don't have a 2000 system in front of me, but you get a bunch of tabs, and one of them will let you change the background, and you just change it to, like, blue, color blue or whatever.
When you log in as the administrator, does it show that picture?
No, it doesn't. Afterward. I think when you log in, it shows it in between, and it goes away once you're in.
Even on the admin account?
Yeah.
So maybe it's in place of the Windows logo file.
Yeah, he must have replaced the Windows logo.
OEM logo.bmp, is it?
Yeah,
it's a
bitmap.
It's
called
an invisible
OEM logo.bmp.
Okay.
And you need to replace that, take it off another machine.
Okay.
That's good.
Yep.
And then replace that one with it.
It's an invisible file, I think, in the root of the Windows directory.
Yeah, I think so too. But it's called OEMLogo.bmp.
Yeah. And he removes that.
Now
BMP
they aren't right. Well, but then it'll just be right. Then it'll be blank. But you really want something there, otherwise Windows gets a little confused.
No, you're gonna can't load error message.
Right. What you want to do is it may be an invisible file, so you want to go in and show all files.
All right.
So view all files, and you should be on your way.
And I just select that. Okay. Mm-hmm.
There you go.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay, we've had our trivia winner for the day, so I can
cross that one off.
I'm very excited. Cross out more trivia. All right, our next caller is Sue from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Sue. What's your question?
Yes, I have a similar question to the first caller. When I was trying to update my Adaware, I got the warning saying the reference file is not found. Now what do I do? Because that just happened this morning. So how do I eventually get it updated?
Well, you just ignore the warning. You're running Windows XP?
Yes.
And you've installed Service Pack 2?
I'm sorry?
You've installed Service Pack 2?
I don't know if I did. I don't know if I did, too. Oh, yes, I did. Yes, Service Pack 2.
That's why. It's as we said to the previous caller. We're going to get this a lot now,
yes.
I think. Microsoft will complain any time you load a piece of software that's not from Microsoft and where that company hasn't paid the exorbitant amount of money to become certified. All you have to do is say, yeah, okay, I'm taking my own responsibility, leave me alone.
And you need to download the current version of Adaware SE directly from Lavasoft to replace
the Adaware. And once you install it, it'll automatically want to do the updates for you.
Head to the security tango, follow all the steps, you should be okay. We're going to take a quick break, back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Lint, and me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
PCs to Macs. These guys can answer your questions. Back to more Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton. And this is Soundbites. Our next caller, Joe from Rochester, New York. Welcome,
morning,
Joe.
Gentlemen.
What do you know?
I know it's Halloween. How you doing?
Good. You?
Well, thank you. When I go to my ad remove program, I have something called Outlook Tools by Hotbar, which I don't think belongs there.
Hotbar is a notorious and insidious spy program.
Mm. But when I go to remove it, I get, you know, capsule followed by nothing.
Right. It's spyware that won't let you remove it.
I see.
So
am I
you
stuck
need
with it?
No. Have you danced the security tango?
Mm-hmm.
There's another program out there that will let you get rid of it.
Okay.
And it's called Hijack This. If you put it down on your desktop, download it, put it on your desktop, and run it. Now, and you'll see that particular program is one of the options that you can check it and then undelete it. You'll be surprised some of the other blanks and everything else that take you to other bogus spots that if you click it, you can remove it and get rid of some of this Trojan software that Adaware and some of the other programs won't remove.
Well, basically, Hotbar is running in the background, so Adaware can't remove a running program. So it keeps bringing it back. What you may be able to have luck doing is make sure that you've got the Adaware SE with the latest definitions loaded and then boot into safe mode and try running it from there. and it might be able to delete the hotbar because it shouldn't necessarily be running at that point.
Okay, well, got it. Thanks very kindly.
There you go. Thank you.
I've also had luck going into MSConfig and turning everything off because that's where a lot of the spyware loads and then boot into safe mode and then run it.
Another one I ran into was Explorer32.exe.
Mm-hmm.
And that likes to, even though that's the name of the program, it likes to copy other programs, puts itself in the MSConfig, and you've got it literally...
And it sounds like a legitimate program.
Yeah, and shut other things off. And it was also tied to, well, this one happened to be tied back to DVDPlayer.exe.
Which sounds legitimate.
Yeah, but they only had a CD-ROM drive.
Yeah.
So I got rid of that, and boom, I was able to finally get rid of Explorer 32.
Yeah, I still love the email messages I get saying the support team at Jesse Group has discovered a virus on your computer.
You're right.
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
I am.
Since you are.
Yeah.
We're seeing that more and more. I've been putting out notices to my folks at RIT constantly, and I work in the College of Business, and I keep telling them, if it says support team, it's not, because I'm the support team. If it says Nick, then it's for me.
Well, not necessarily. They're getting sneakier. They're pulling first name and last names out of ID information. I get stuff about mortgage, a lot of new mortgage ones. You know, Mr. Ray, do you still live in Rochester and the mortgage rates are changing? And,
mm-hmm.
and so they're sneaking out with some form I filled out somewhere and a cookie on my system.
Right, exactly. Our next caller, Bob from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Bob. What's your question?
The question is, a couple days ago I called that 800 number to get a hold of Dell Computer. I was considering purchasing a computer from them.
Sure.
And the gentleman on the phone couldn't really give me an answer to this question I asked him when we were going through everything about the PC that we were setting up to you know, put together and have shipped out. And it was regarding the processor. Explaining to me that there's five choices I could choose from on the processor for a Pentium 4. I can either start with a 2.8 gig, a 3.0, or a 3.2,
sure.
which will handle a 1 meg L2 cache.
Right.
And then he said, if I want to spend more money, I can go to a 3.4 or a 3.6, which would handle 2 meg of L2 cache.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, well, he says, what are you going to do with this computer when you purchase it? I says, well, nothing fancy, just, you know, web surfing, banking, a lot of web work, that's it.
Right.
So he was suggesting that because of so many changes with operating systems coming out, that it would be in my best interest so that I don't have to keep buying a computer every 4 or 5 years. Or
he tried one. Yeah. He sold you the expensive one.
Yeah. Selling up.
It's called upselling.
He said,
yeah.
He goes, go with a 3.6 on 2 meg, you know, of L2 cache. I'm like, well, wait a minute.
Which, right now, chip is very highly priced.
It's very highly priced. And you know what? If you've got the money, God love you. Are you adopting? Because I'll be your child.
Yeah.
If, in terms of what you're doing, unless you're running a high-end engineering workstation, even the low-end system that you're looking at is not going to be overly, you know, it's not going to be a big deal for you.
Yeah, if you're going to be doing video editing or 3D CAD work or even developing 3D games.
Right, then you want that high-end system. But if you're surfing the web and doing email and all that kind of stuff, the low-end system is more than fast enough for you.
They've got to be working on a commission.
Oh, they are. Yeah. Of course they are.
And,
it's,
you know,
all
the
about
more
upselling.
Goodies and, well,
and
else they can sell.
One of the things they often like to say is, do you think you'll be getting into movies? Because digital cameras have really taken off, and everyone's doing slideshows now. The next step is digital video. You're going to be doing digital video on your computer, too? You might as well get the faster machine.
If you go with the Intel 3.0 or 3.2, you're going to have a system that's going to last you for a good while.
Right, so
and go with the serial ATA hard drive.
I might suggest you take a look at some of the local vendors, a couple of whom we have here on our show, and see what they have to say as well. You'll get a comparable price.
Mm-hmm. On our
right. You get a face to look at, and that's always a good thing when you've got a problem. We're going to take another break.
I think it's scary.
Yeah, well, looking at your face. Yeah, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes on Sound Bites on the other side of the news on 1180 WHAM.
Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. We're going to be back to the phones in just a couple of minutes, but before we do, I want to talk just a very little bit about what we have on our website at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. Every week we have a poll. Last week's poll was about 217. It's a little slow coming up. Our web
internet
access is our internet access is gone, so we're relying on an older machine.
Well, with all the moves and all that, yeah,
they're doing a lot of renovating and stuff. I understand that, but it just slowed us down a little bit. 217 of you voted. Thank you. The question was, whom do you Google? And the winner with 39% of the vote was, who don't I Google? Followed by myself, regularly, you insensitive clod. Followed by people I do business with and friends and relatives and my kids and fellow employees. And only two of you Google prospective dates. Either that's because so many of us are pre-related,
yeah.
are already in relationships. Or instead, because we're out there living the wild life right there. This week's poll is about 100 of you. I didn't thank anybody because about 100 people actually suggested this over the last few months. And the question is, have you used your wireless laptop in a coffee house? And, of course, coffee house includes, you know, any sort of place where you can sit and have some sort of
wireless connection.
Beverage while you wire.
I use it at bars, not coffee houses.
Yeah, I put that down. That's the sort of place. and the choices are, I practically live there, rarely, never, and I have no wireless laptop, you insensitive clod. So far, 105 of you have voted. 55% of you have no wireless laptop, and I am an insensitive clod, followed by never, rarely, and I practically live there. That's the poll for the week. When you're done with the poll, you'll see below it a little yellow box where you can go over to my website, asknick.com. That's asknick.com, and leave an opinion about the poll so that you can say a little more than just clicking on a button. We've had people who over a long time have said, "Well, I can't really say anything."
Yeah.
So now you can go over here and say what attracts you to computing in a coffee house. So far, 14 of you have voted. One or two, actually, and somebody actually put in the chemical formula for caffeine. We have nothing if not an odd bunch of people who do this. Anyway, when you're done with that, come back to our website at soundbites.org and join us in the forums where the coolest people on the face of the earth actually sit around and chit-chat with each other, having lots and lots of fun. We're going to go back to the phones now, and we're going to talk to Bob from Greece, New York. Welcome, Bob. What's your question?
Good morning. Several months ago, I discovered that I now have a Drive F.
Congratulations.
It didn't used to exist. Drive F is FAT. Drive C is NTFS.
Mm-hmm.
It was supposed to be a 120 gigabyte hard drive. It shows up as 112. It's a Dell computer.
Mm-hmm.
Don't understand how I ended up with Drive F. When I go to defragment, I discovered this.
Yeah, it depends on which version of Dell's setup you have.
Yeah.
But on some of them, there's a separate little partition that holds some utilities to do repartitioning and that also can hold diagnostic stuff all that sort of fare.
Reload the OS, even.
Right, and so that's their diagnostic stuff. If you were to call them and say, "Oh, I've got this problem or that problem or whatever," they would say, "Okay, give us do this and blah blah blah. Go to Drive F, do this blah blah blah." So I would suggest you just leave it alone.
Oh, okay. I thought it might be somebody had gotten in somehow and played with my.
No,
that's highly unlikely.
Partitioning of it.
You didn't recently add like a camera card reader or another hard drive yourself?
No.
Because if you do, you'll find that's a new drive as well. But obviously, in this case, that's not the choice. That's not the thing that happened. Right.
And just one other thing. This generic host process, which seems to always need to connect to the Internet. I mean, how exposed are we using that system that constantly has to contact the Internet?
Well, you're running Windows.
Right.
So you're very exposed.
You're very exposed. Yeah. I'll let the Mac guy say that. the fact is that there are an incredible number of generic host processes that run on your system. They're usually called svchost.exe. And if you open up the task manager, you'll see them by the hundreds.
Yeah, they show up when I open up Zone Alarm.
Right. And really, generally speaking, nobody knows what they do.
Exactly.
It's something you live with. You're running Windows, you got to live with it because it's there whether you like it or not. I'm sorry. I wish I had a more satisfactory answer for you. I do not. I'm sorry. That's just the way things go.
The danger of using Windows.
Right. Well, that's true of any operating system. There's always stuff going on. You don't know what it does, but it's more stealthy under Windows. Our next caller is Alicia on a cell phone. Welcome, Alicia. What's your question?
Well, I'm an independent consultant to nonprofits, and I'm looking for a really good remote software. And I've been looking on the Internet. I've been looking at other products such as SupportPCAnywhere.com.
Right.
Wanted to know your opinion.
You can use a free program called VNC, Virtual Network Computing.
How secure is that for my clients, though?
It has nothing to do with security. You need to have a firewall and a router installed for security.
Right.
Yeah. Right. What operating system do your clients have?
It varies.
Yeah.
Most of them are Windows 2000. Some are on XP. It varies by client, depending
XP,
on their...
XP has the remote desktop connection built into it.
Yeah. Right. And that's sort of safe because you have to say yes to let somebody... go in.
And you'd have to put the program Steve was talking about, VNC, you'd have to put it on each client's machine, set up a username and password, because when you connect to their machine, you've got to be able to put in that username and password to gain access and grab files.
Right.
Right.
Can hackers come in through that?
We haven't seen it yet, but yes, I'd say yes.
They have to guess the username, they have to guess the password, they have to guess the IP address.
Okay.
But it is possible.
It's certainly possible.
There's a new one I've been playing with from Netopia, who make Timbuktu. It's Netopia eCare, and it runs as a plug-in to Internet Explorer. So you don't have to install any major client software on the remote machine. They just download this plug-in, and it asks for permission to control someone else's machine. And that's
I'm looking for that.
Yeah, it's more designed for large tech support companies who want to get in and fix your computer. One of the problems that it used to be very common to have Timbuktu or Laplink or PC Anywhere pre-installed on Dells and Gateways and HPs and whatnot, so they could fix your problems for you. But one of the biggest problems was my internet isn't working.
Yep.
So if the internet's not working, then they can't log in and fix your problem for you.
Right.
But yeah, VNC is a free product developed by AT&T and Bell Labs. I'm pretty sure we have a link on our.
We can't get there.
We can't get to it. Yeah,
our internet is broken. So,
but you want to? You can go to any of the download sites, and you need a VNC client and a VNC server. So you'd have to put the VNC server on each of your customers' machines, so you could log into it as a client and control their computer.
But I believe that one can be protected with the. Encryption and everything
encryption,
else.
Right.
So
yep.
It's probably your safest bet, and it is free.
Okay.
It's a little slower than some of the commercial packages.
Yeah, because you're doing
the
encryption. Well, yeah. Because you're doing the encryption, which is worth slowing down a little.
Next, though, I can do it from my office. So that, get onto that client's machine, correct there.
Yeah, we've got a couple of clients in the southern tier that I've set up on that, so it saves me the 2-hour drive.
Exactly, for most things, anyway. Yeah. Our next caller, speaking of a 2-hour drive, is Chrissy in Leroy. Welcome, Chrissy. It's actually not 2 hours, of course. How are you?
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good.
I have no wireless laptop, you insensitive.
I'm sorry, Chrissy. I'd send you one if I had an extra.
Well, that's why I'm calling. I wanted to get into it, and I was wondering about the differences in the standards.
The wonderful thing about standards is there's so many of them to choose from.
Yeah.
The 802.11b.
Right. Generally, the B standard is one of the earlier standards. It runs at 11 megabit.
And just about everybody talks it.
Yeah.
The G standard is the latest one. It's 54 megabit. Also backward compatible to the 11.
Mm, yep.
The A standard is 22 megabit and not compatible with anybody else.
So you want to stick with B or G. G is much faster if you've connected to a G hub. If not, it'll still talk to a B hub, so it's your best bet if you're looking for a combination of both speed and compatibility. But an 802.11b will also talk in both directions and is a lot cheaper. You just don't get the faster speed.
And for most of the time, your internet speed is 2 or 3K, so having the 11 megabit wireless
is more than,
than the internet connection is anyway. And we're hearing rumors now about the new H&J standards that are supposed to be 100 megabit.
Right, and they'll be, you know, $100,000
too. So, yeah.
I mean, but Chrissy, if you're looking to just get into the internet, your best bet is to start with the 802.11b, B as in boy, standard. It's inexpensive and does and talks to everybody except the
built-in firewall.
It does a little bit of everything. We're going to be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and each and every one of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Are you a...
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Before we get back to the phones, we're going to do the website of the week.
Yeah, I found two good ones. I mean, with the holidays coming up right now, and especially Christmas and everything else, for kids, there's two of them. They all start www.crayola.com/index.cfm. And they've got a lot of great stuff up there for kids, different crafts and everything else for the holidays coming up, and coloring pictures. And along with that website, there's one by Disney, Disney Online, and it's called familyfun.go.com/art-and-crafts. And both of these sites offer a lot of great holiday tips and things to do. Right, even right now, you can get... get, you know, pictures that they can color and put on the refrigerator. And there was one there even for making a finger puppet of a map.
Cool.
You can download it and fold it and paint it up and do everything. So it's really some safe sites that you can take your kids to go to for the holidays.
Remember a few months ago, I went to the Crayola website to find the best ways to clean crayon marks off furniture. And they have it.
And they have it. And Steve will get those up as soon as he gets to a place that has an internet connection. We're back to the phones now, and we're going to talk to Sharon from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Sharon. What's your question?
I bought a used Dell computer, and it had an F drive, which I heard a man refer to a minute ago.
Right.
My problem is that the F drive is very small in space,
right,
and it's full.
Yep.
And I can't figure out how to get to the C drive.
A little different. So.
So when you open my computer, C doesn't show.
It shows up, but when I can't get it as the main drive.
C is always the main drive, and you can't change that.
But everything I go on, every time I download anything, it automatically goes to the F drive.
You can change it to the C drive.
That's what my question is. I've looked up everything. I've tried, you know, looking at all the information on how to do something.
Right. Web browser are you using? Internet Explorer?
Microsoft.
Right. When you go to... Okay, what you need to do is... is inside Internet Explorer.
Mm-hmm.
You can make some changes to the way things are set up.
Right. Okay.
So what you want to do is
first, she's going to want to create a folder on the C drive. Say, create a folder called Download.
Right. You can get to the C drive, right?
Yes.
Okay. Right. Create a folder called Downloads. That's the best place to start.
Okay.
We're looking for it. The,
yeah.
the preference we're looking for is
set the default
download folder.
Well, you don't need to because once you go to it, it should save it there.
Right. The first time, the next time you download a file, it should ask you where you want to put it.
And if it opens up the F drive, if you click up above there where it's going to put it, that little down arrow, you can see your whole computer. Click on the C drive, that'll show you the folders, and then select the download on the C drive.
And the next time it should remember
that. And it'll remember
download.
It the next time.
Well, you confused me there for a minute because you were two or three talking.
Okay. When you go to do your download,
okay,
it's going to say, all right, I want to put it on the F drive. You can then go up and click where it's going to put it, and there's like a little white bar with a down arrow.
Mm-hmm.
If you click on that down arrow, it'll show you your whole computer. If you first click on the C drive, it'll expand that. You can then select the downloader folder that you created just before that, select that, say okay. It will download it now into that C download folder. Next time you go to download it, it remembers, oh, I put it here last time on the C drive and download, and it'll do it thereafter.
Okay, so every time I opened up my, or rebooted, it would automatically open up to the C drive?
Yep.
Yeah, it tries to remember the last place you downloaded it, assuming that's where you want to download it again.
Yeah.
So once you tell it C drive on one of your downloads, it should remember the C drive the next time.
You know, that's odd because I've downloaded, and because the F was so full,
mm-hmm.
I've automatically went to that where it asked me where I wanted to go to.
Mm-hmm.
I've dropped the box down, chose the C drive, and put it in program files.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not where you want it to go.
That's not a good place to put them because there's so many other programs and everything else in there. Trying to locate that one could be kind of hard, whereas if you put it into a separate folder, label it Downloads, create one and say, call it Downloads and put it there. Because you're going to see too many programs in that are already in there, and if you're adding other additional downloads, you're just making that laundry list bigger, and trying to find it is going to be a nightmare.
Well, I thank you very much. I think I've got it.
All right.
Good for you, Sharon. Let us know. Our next caller is Debbie from Fairport, New York. Welcome, Debbie. What's your question?
Hey, guys.
Hi there.
Great show.
Thank you.
A couple quick questions on how to best manage temporary Internet files.
Delete them. Destroy them. Go in there with a club and beat them to death.
They don't need to be managed. Just delete them.
Actually, that is true, but I do have two quick questions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm running Internet Explorer 6.
Okay.
And Windows XP with AOL. And AOL has this little optimization program where it'll go out and say, you know, if you set this setting, you might get better response time. And one of the things that it pointed out was that by default, Internet Explorer set the amount of disk space to use for my temporary Internet files to like over a gig.
Yeah, sure. Right. 10% of your drive.
And it said drop that down to 128 megabytes and you'll get...
I would drop it down to 2 or 3 megabytes.
Oh, really?
The concept is when you download something on the web, or
when you go to any web page,
when you open a web page, it downloads automatically the little text, the little graphics on that page into your cache file. So the next time you go back to that same page, it doesn't have to download them again if they're already on your hard drive.
Okay, gotcha.
You rarely go back to the same page. Even a minute later, the page will be different and dynamic.
Yeah.
So eventually it takes longer to search the cache to see if it can save you time than it would have to just download the thing to begin with.
Ah, so in this case, less is better.
Right. Yes, less is more.
And since most of those little files are only 5 or 10K for a little graphic, a little icon... you don't need more than a few megabytes of cache. If you're on a modem, however, a larger cache, 10 to 20 megabytes, can be better because downloading things off over a modem is much slower than broadband.
Right. I do have broadband. So you suggest like 2 to 3 meg? Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Okay. Also, as far as deleting the files, as far as I can see, there's like 3 different ways to do this. And I want to know, is one way more efficient than another?
No. No. They just give you multiple ways of doing it. Apparently, they've got multiple groups doing this stuff, and they don't talk to each other, basically, is how that works.
We could probably give you 2 or 3 more if we stopped and thought about it.
None is more efficient than the other. And since this is possibly the last time you'll be doing it, since you'll be lowering the size of the cache anyway, it really wouldn't matter.
Okay. So I've just got in the Internet options, the Advanced tab, I've got the box checked empty the temporary Internet folders whenever the browser is closed.
Cool.
There you go.
Good enough?
Good enough.
That's great.
Hey, thanks a bunch.
You win, Deb. Thanks. Our next caller, John from Rochester, New York. Welcome, John. What's your question?
Quick question. I'm running XP Home Edition, and I'm dancing the security tango today.
Good for you.
And one of the things that I've noticed, and I don't know whether this is a problem with how my user accounts are set up, but I've had to go into all 3 user accounts on my XP Home Edition to delete temporary Internet files.
Yep.
Is that the norm?
Yep.
Okay.
Every person, has a different set of everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the... If they were similar, you could go into somebody else's and see where they've been on the Internet. The whole point is to keep everything separate.
Or you could go into someone else's documents and look at their checkbook.
Right.
Now, the point is that
that's why
separate.
There's multiple sets of them.
Gotcha.
There you go.
Okay. It wasn't clear in the instructions for Dance with the Security Tango.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I did it on Mark, and all of a sudden I was like, hey, I thought all these files were deleted. So.
Yeah. Repeat for each user.
Okay, lather, rinse, and repeat for each user. Going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes, Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and each and every one of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. And you can find it at StopHackersNow.com. One easy program that protects you with a firewall, antivirus, ID lock, website filtering, and email and instant messaging protection. Stop hackers trying to steal your passwords and your identity. Block viruses and worms. Shield your private information. There's an ID vault that keeps your passwords and finances safe and sound. There's even website filtering to block offensive content from your children and encrypt their instant messages from chat room stalkers and more. If you've got a family or you value your privacy online, you owe it to yourself to visit StopHackersNow.com. Select Nick in the drop-down menu to get $30 off the list price of $69.95, then download it for just $39.95. StopHackersNow.com. Select Nick in the drop-down menu, and you get a $70 package for $30. Do it today.
Answering your computer questions for over 15 years. It's Soundbites with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Our next caller is Jim from Syracuse, New York. Welcome, Jim. What's your question?
Howdy, doody.
Howdy.
Okay, I just want to make sure I'm not having an LBK error here. I can't do any Windows updates from Internet Explorer. I mean, that's not my main browser, but when I click on Windows Update, it goes to the Windows page and then nothing happens.
If you do it... Really?
Yeah.
What operating system are you running?
XP Home.
And if you're not using Internet Explorer, what's the problem?
Well, I'd like to do a system update.
You have to use Internet Explorer for your update.
Yeah, but, I mean, if he's not using it most of the time...
Yeah, right, he doesn't really need the other stuff, right. If you go into the control panel...
Yeah.
...and run the automatic updates control panel applet, what happens?
Same thing.
He must have gotten one applet that downloaded bad, and now he's blocking from the rest of them.
Would it do me any good to re-download 6?
It might not hurt, but
you may
the
uninstall
first thing,
it, the first one.
Yeah, the first thing I do is look in automatic updates and make sure you haven't turned them off.
Okay.
If they are turned off, one of the things I might suggest, and you didn't do it, one of the things I might suggest is dancing the Security Tango.
Which I've already done. I do it 3 times a week.
Good. Good.
Hey, I'm crystal clear.
Yeah. Good. Good. Because that's So I would suggest that you try what Dave said. Try re-downloading 6. It may have gotten corrupted.
First time install it and try redoing it.
All right, we can do that.
All right.
Thanks, guys. Have fun.
Have fun. Our next caller is Joe from Buffalo. Hey, Joe, what do you know?
Howdy. This is probably more for Steve than anybody else, but I've seen ads on TV recently of they're advertising the iPod, but somehow HP is involved. Can you... explain what happens there?
HP and Apple have entered into a co-marketing agreement, and HP is selling the HP-branded iPod. It's virtually identical to the Apple iPod, except it only comes with Windows software, iTunes for Windows, which almost doesn't matter because iTunes for Mac comes with the OS anyway. And it comes with HP tattoos, little templates that you can print on your printer, and stick on.
And if you use the right ink, you can slap it on your arm, wet it, and all of a sudden you...
Basically, you stick it on your iPod and can custom tattoo your iPod.
Oh, on the iPod. Okay.
You can download the same thing from HP and other printer companies. From Apple's standpoint, it's...
Tattoo your iPod?
Yeah.
On the silver part or on the white part?
Probably the silver part.
What, do you cut them off and tape them on?
Something like that, or they're static adhesive.
Yeah.
See if they're special paper.
Special HP paper.
HP
paper and HP ink on an HP printer.
Sure.
From the HP iPod.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Another thing I would suggest to people like your teacher who called in,
yes,
it might pay them to have someone professionally go in and lock down those machines so stuff like that doesn't happen. You know, with Windows 2000 yeah. and above, you have the ability to do that.
And most schools are locked down, the school systems and the even the libraries.
What it sounds like is this kid has the administrative password, actually. I was going to mention that at some point, but then we got involved in something else.
So if your administrator username is administrator and your password is admin or password, that's bad.
That's bad.
That's the first thing we guess.
Or 1, 2, 3.
We change ours every quarter of our IT.
Yep. Well, we have a lot of trouble with novice users on macOS 10 because it requires you to put in a password, but then turns on auto-login. So you never have to enter that password until a system update comes along.
Right.
And by then they've forgotten.
They've forgotten it.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
But that's a good point, Joe. Thanks.
Thanks.
Have fun. Our next caller, Jonathan from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Jonathan. What's your question?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad. My problem is I have hooked up my digital camcorder using, I think it's called a FireWire.
Sure.
Right in, and my computer has MS Movie Maker.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to burn a DVD directly off of the camcorder. I don't seem to be able to do that.
Right.
So what I did is I just create a file on the C drive.
Right.
But then when it has instructions on how to burn a DVD off of that,
right,
but it won't let me. It seems like it's letting me do audio, but not video, and it just says, I get a message, I'm like, unable to do it.
What's your DVD offering program?
Got Tulip?
No, I don't know that one.
Have you got a DVD writer?
Okay, well, I guess here's my question. Do you specifically have to have a DVD writer?
Yeah, absolutely.
To make a DVD,
it's just like CDs. You can have a CD reader and or a CD burner, but they're two separate types of devices, and a reader won't burn.
Oh no, I have it. I have one to burn.
A DVD
CDs
burner.
Or DVD?
Well, I'm not sure. I guess I know I can burn CDs.
Right.
Well,
that's again
totally,
separate.
Yep.
You could possibly burn a CVD.
VCD. A video CD.
VCD, right? VCD.
If your CD burning software supports the VCD format, you can burn a video CD onto the CD media. You're limited in size and quality because CDs are so much smaller than DVDs. But you need a DVD burner, DVD-R, in order to burn a DVD to watch on television.
Oh, okay.
And
so in other words, I just can't buy some software to allow me to burn a DVD right off of my camcorder.
No, sorry.
You have to have the DVD burner.
Unfortunately,
and
it's the hardware that you have.
And even with the DVD burner, you can't burn directly from the camcorder. The camcorder's in DV format. Your DVD authoring software converts that DV into MPEG-2, which is the video format that it needs to burn. So you have to have DVD authoring software and a DVD burner itself.
Right. We've got about a minute or so left. Bill from Rochester, what's your question?
Yeah, how are you
Rochester
doing today?
Sports leader.
Good.
Okay.
What's your question?
Wrong button.
Am I on?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okie dokie. I've got a Presario Compact with an AMD Durham processor. It's 256 RAM. I've got a blinking monitor.
And no other video.
In everything, whether I'm on the net or just at a computer. I've tried running a defrag. I've done a scan disk.
Well, if it's the monitor, then none of that stuff is going to do it. You've either got a cable problem, the monitor connected to the cable. The cable that runs from the monitor to the computer is either not tight or is broken.
Okay.
Or you've got a problem with the driver on your video card, or it could well be that your speakers are interfering with the signal because they're too close to that cable or to the monitor itself.
That might be the problem.
There you go. Yep. Move the speakers and see if that solves the problem.
I'm doing it right now.
Good for you. Listen, we got to run because it's the end of another show. I want to thank everybody who called in. I want to apologize to everyone to whom we did not get. We will be back here next week at 11 o'clock. Same bat time, same bat channel. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, the totally incredible Rob Linton. I'm Nick Francesco. We will see you next Sunday at 11 o'clock on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
For the best, but...